towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Now, again, with our hands cupped before our heart, while people find a seat. Again. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Now take this cup of blessing filled with light and bless yourself. So we have some takers on the subject of simplicity, it looks like. These teachings that I'm offering today are really the teachings of Murshid. It comes from Sufi Message Volume 7 in the Eastern Rose Garden. And the subject is actually on simplicity and complexity. You know, those are always, we're always dealing with polarities, right? But it depends on which side of that pole we're closer to. And so Murshid talks about that. Of course, that brings to, it brings to mind the quote of Marshall Samuel Lewis about concepts, you know? If we want concepts, we can have concepts. Or was that Joe? Does someone know Joe Miller? But to feel is for real, was that? Was it Joe? Yeah. So, but you know, it's like these concepts that arise, these thoughts, these feelings even, you know, if we look at it objectively, it's also intangible. It's illusory, isn't it? How it changes. I had a great, Buddhist Rinpoche one day say to me, "It gives me great courage to think about the nature of impermanence. It all just changes like this. It's only fixed in our minds, right? Towards the one." We read in the Vedan, which you know is a little booklet of Murshid Anayat Khan's, "Simplicity is the living beauty." And that word beauty, it's very interesting because, you know, I don't think it's an outward beauty, do you? It's a beautiful manner of being. It's developing the art of personality. It's being properly chivalrous. It's being receptive. It's being all these things. But it's not really, I don't think it's cosmetic or it's external, although it may manifest in that way. And certainly I've seen people that in one view, you may look at them and you could think that they're not a very attractive person. Then all of a sudden they appeal so beautiful to you. They're just full of light and love and, you know, a quality of intelligence or something. So it's, you know, we get deceived by our eyes. So easily deceived. We just came, Karima Gita and I just came from the Federation gathering. We talked a lot about that quality of beauty. we talked about it in the context of what's arising for us in the world today, the struggle of life, the idea of polarities, and, you know, what is beauty? How do we bring that forward? So I just wanted to highlight that. You know, it's one of those principles that Murshid brought to us: love, harmony, and beauty. Those three principles. So again, Murshid says, simplicity is the loving beauty. Man today, or woman, has made life so complex that whatever one seeks after, he wants to find in complexity. All things in life which have importance, beauty, and value are simple. The simplest things are from divine truth. Can everyone hear me? Sam, can you hear me? Okay. The simplest things are found in divine truth. Well, that's also one, isn't it? What's truth? Whose truth? At what time is it truth? And then it changes. These are good questions to keep asking ourselves along, you know, from day to day even. What's beauty? What's truth? My husband, who's an engineer, would of course say math. You know, it's the highest truth. The one who cares little for it thinks it is too deep a water to go into. So truth is too deep. And the one who cares much for it thinks that it is so difficult that it would be very hard to find it. So we either don't dig deep because it's too hard, or we don't want to put forth the effort, or, you know, there are a lot of things. You know, think about it. There are times where maybe something's even coming up on the news and it's like, click, I don't want to even think about it or talk, right? That's an advantage. We can make a choice. But, you know, I think about the stories that I've heard about Murshid. And again, I'm speaking of Vinayak Khan. In lectures, you know, they could tell he had a sudden shift in mood and he would become very silent. And often something really significant, either good or bad, was happening in the world. He felt that. The truth of his being, he could feel it. I mean, imagine if we could all be that, a mirror like that, or like that, you know, those smooth lake or pond that reflects everything just as if it's a mirror, you know? The truth can then arise. We have a lot of layers. I do. I don't know. Maybe you don't. We have a lot of layers to get through, don't we? But Murshid gives us some clues. Don't give up. It's not really that difficult. It is and it isn't. It's like the Ishkala Mabud Allah. God is love, lover, and the beloved. Easy words, what do they mean? Easy words, what do they really mean? So I'll go back and read that previous sentence. The one who cares little for it, meaning the truth, simplicity, thinks it is too deep a water to go into. And the one who cares much for it thinks that it is so difficult that it would be very hard to find it. In this way, both the lover of truth and the one who dares not look for complexity, they both look for complexity. The one who seeks it and the one who thinks it's too difficult. Now I have to ask you, Have you ever gone to a lecture somewhere or a talk, and someone's talking in maybe big terms, scientific terms, or it could be esoteric terms, and, you know, talking about the roots of language, and, you know, it's like, it seems very deep and scholarly, and you think, oh, surely they know something because their language is so complex, right? There's a good example, like, oh my God, they know how to use big words, and they know the roots of this, and we, you know, it's complex. We may not get as much from it as we could from just witnessing an interaction with a little child, but we think it really means something because of the complexity of it. Am I right? We've all done that. So be mindful of that, how we can be easily... I'm suggesting using discriminating wisdom to be awake. I wanted to really be at the falling awake talk. I thought that would be great, but, you know, being awake. I mean, Kabir's up there. I want to go be with Kabir. But I'm glad I'm here with all of you, and I'm glad you came too. Thank you. So knowing his nature, the wise have guided man gradually to the truth. Knowing his nature, the wise have guided man gradually to the truth. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's pretty simple. Can we do it? It's a simple truth. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Beautiful and simple words, really spoken in a simple language. Knowing his nature, the wise have guided man gradually to the truth. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ, the prophet Muhammad, Moses, and all the different prophets who in their time have given the message of God and truth, have given it in perfect simplicity. Today, man, woman, with all his knowledge, complicates that truth and gives it in a form which is not understood. The general tendency is that when man does not understand something, he believes by the very fact of his not understanding that there must be something in it. They know, right?
Yes.
They must know something. I have to go find out what it is that they know. It can be also very seductive. If you like that, I have some snakeskin oil for you too. Right? False promises, false prophets. Excuse me. So, by way of kind of helping us to break through some of our possible obscurations or veils, you might say, I'd like for us to work with a practice. And it can be something that can be done in a very strong way. You know, Murshid says, shatter one's ideal on the rock of truth. It's like that. And so the wazifa, the sacred word, the sacred quality of God, is truth. And it's spelled H-A-Q-Q, but it's a strong K sound, so it's haq. And when we do the practice, we can think of this place that Murshid talks about, the solar plexus, is the deep heart. You know, I've talked to you about this before. And he talks about the actual heart is like, it's like the reflector or the mirror. Okay, so if we don't want to go like a hammer down on our solar plexus, we can do it here and let it, the vibration kind of come down. But we know that until this center gets open, we don't overcome our selfness in a way. This is where we also hold that selfness, you know? And we have to have the selfness, because if we don't have good boundaries, of course, we're considered schizophrenic or crazy. But at the same time, it's also good to know when to soften that. And when one does, Mersha teaches us that this is when the intuitive faculties arise. And I believe that when the intuitive faculties arise, you can see more clearly into circumstances. And when one can penetrate more deeply into circumstances, one develops a greater understanding beyond judgment. Towards understanding, sympathy, but also strength and courage if one needs that. I mean, there are times where one has to resist. Is that clear? So we're going to do this practice. I want to give you Mershad's words. This is from his, it's like a transcript typewritten decades ago. But this is how he describes Huck. He says, the one who is the truth, the real, and the truly existing. The one who is the truth, the real, and the truly existing. The one whose essence is the only substance and the only reality. The only substance and the only reality. Shall we try? Okay. So we'll do it 34 times aloud, preceded by Yah. A kind of honorific, oh dear, oh beloved, truth, invoking that truth. And then we'll whisper. There's plenty of chairs. Everyone should be comfortable. And please tell me if you can't hear me. It's all right to interrupt. Oh, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, and if people want it off, it's also fine. It's so think about it again. Well, we're in the right place. Make room for others.
That's just severe weather.
Tornado warning in this area till 3 p.m. CDT.
Okay, so let's just take a few breaths and concentrate inwardly on that sound, huck. And as we do it, we may kind of think about, it could be a gentle first kind of tapping, you know, and then you can get a little more fierce with it. Shatter your ideal on the rock of truth. The truth of your being and your being and your being and your being. Yahuck. 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 Now stop for just a moment. Watch this. Watch what's going on here. Yahuck. Breathe in. Yahuck. So you're really exercising that center too, okay? It's good, we're like our Pilates, all right? But it's very good, it awakens that too. It gets the energy flowing there. So just allow your belly to go out. Okay, we'll start again. Yahuck, 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 yahuck. Yahuck, 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 yahuck,
Yahak. 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 Yahak.
And then we breathe in and we breathe out and we go, huck, 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 now just breathe in. Breathe in the atmosphere. Breathe in that seeking, that desire to reveal that truth every moment of our life. So breathe in and breathe out silently. Just breathe it in and breathe it out. Any thoughts, feelings, sensations?
Until something happened.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you would hold the question to which you were wanting to know about the truth. You hold that question during meditation.
And sometimes that is, you know, I've told this story many times. When I first started learning from my teacher, it was the pre-email days. And so we corresponded via mail every month. And there weren't a lot of books, and there wasn't the internet and all that stuff. So she would give practices, and I didn't know the meaning of them. It was up for me to discover. And so what I had to do every month was report back, like witnessing in my own life what was unfolding and what my own realization was of the practice. She lived in California, so she wasn't near. I couldn't easily rely on a conversation with her. And at that time, long distance was expensive. So sometimes the mind wants to know or apprehend things. It's beyond all knowing in a way. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think the rational mind is a tricky rascal that hooks us in. Well, Murshid has a whole body of teachings on that too. How that can get in our way. So there are many kinds of understanding, I think. Would you agree? And there's body awareness, there's intuition that arises, precognitive things, whatever, can come that way. And sometimes we don't trust it and we don't listen. It's good to test oneself every day about it. It helps us get to the simplicity of truth.
I kind of wonder if you can because I didn't hear exactly the second part of that. Were you breathing out first and then in on the second part, on the middle, you know, where you're breathing out and in and saying it? Were you breathing out first or in first?
I don't even know. Okay. I just do it both ways.
Oh, okay.
I might have needed to take an in-breath since I was talking. But, you know, you're just undulating back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah. Nirtana, it can be different sometimes if your teacher has given you, sometimes Wazifa are paired. And sometimes, I mean, when I was studying with Pure Light, he would sometimes give me a series of four practices. And in those instances, sometimes you undulate back and forth, or sometimes you hold. You know, you can receive that instruction according to your teacher, the flow of it. But in this instance, it's just in and out. Yeah. So back to Murshid's reading. It's interesting to have the practice going on upstairs. There can be that tendency to be drawn to it. It's good because it surely mixes beautifully with ours. But at the same time, it's good to watch the mind. Where are you? Where's your attention?
Should we shut the door?
We just pray harder. Is it distracting you? Okay, good. Yeah, I always think that it's a really good opportunity just to concentrate harder. I'm sorry I'm rustling around here. I want to get my phone so I can keep a mindful eye on time. So again, back to Murshid's words. Can there be any truth which the human soul has not known? Has there been any truth that the human soul has not known? Not the mind, maybe not even the heart, but deeper than that, the human soul. If the soul had not known it, it could not be truth. For truth is not knowledge, it is the very self. Truth is not knowledge, it is the very self. The truth is not a newly invented theory, not a dogma, not an idea. The truth is not a newly invented theory, not a dogma, not an ideal. It is reality itself. Well, then the question is, what is reality? Things are not as they appear, nor are they otherwise. Right? Have you all seen the movie? It came up a lot at the retreat, and it's actually by some very famous mid-century modern designers. It's called Power of Ten.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's magnificent.
Right? Like, you're out here, and you go, and you go, and it's like, oh my God, it's all the same. So things are not as they appear, nor are they otherwise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the way we cognize, perhaps, but it's a whole different reality. There's also, someone mentioned that there's a book for children, if anyone has kids or grandkids. It's the same principle. It's called Zoom. But people are using it in team building and the corporate world to show we're not that different, you know? And then there's a new edition of it called ReZoom. So, yeah, just wanted to give, I'm not getting any funds from the books, but it sounds like they're great. I haven't seen them myself, but at the back of the self, At the back of it, excuse me, let me start again. At the back of it is the self of man, of woman, of us. At the back of it, this reality itself, at the back of it is the self of man. Therefore, it is simple. But it is not simplicity that man seeks. He is longing for complexity. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Anything which confuses, he's glad to take interest in. Oh, I'm interested in that. Tell me more. Anything which will confuse, he is glad to take interest in. If it is simple, he says, I already know that. I already know that. Do you really know that? Do you really know? Just remember that, right? Like, why am I here? Why am I listening to this? Not with me, but anywhere. You know, I already know that. Why did I have to come here? In a way, it's good. In a way, it's not so good. It's very dismissive, but knowing and being are two different things. We know that, right? Knowing and being are two different things. Grandmother wisdom. You all remember the story of Anne, the grandmother, right? My grandmother Anne. She would always say, she was very wise about interactions with men, by the way. I think I'm going to write a book about it because it's very educational. It doesn't have to be a man-woman relationship. It can be those energies, you know, at work within a relationship. And she would always say to me, and I've taken that as good advice, and it's kind of kept me safe in my relationships. You really know how someone feels about you by the things they do for you, not their words. So it's that. What's that? That's another simple truth. Actions speak louder than words, right? You know, we've heard all these things. But if someone comes in with I went to the library here, and you know, I was in Babylon, and I, they said, and then, you know, I met with this big, you know, then we think, oh man, they know something. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Okay, pay attention, because this is big. Then we get to something even bigger, which I underline. Okay, spirit is generally considered to mean the source and goal of all things. Spirit is generally considered to mean the source and goal of all things, the essence of life, that spirit from which the whole manifestation comes, and that same to which the whole manifestation is drawn. La Elaha El Allahu. It's in the phrase. There is nothing. There is everything. Things are not as they appear, nor are they otherwise. It's in the zikr. We also use the word spirit in the case of a person who has passed from this earth. This is another meaning of the word spirit. From a metaphysical point of view, it is the mind and soul and their activity which is spirit. But there is still another meaning of the word spirit, that we use every day. And it's in our everyday language. Meaning, spirit, influence, spirit, radiance, spirit, enthusiasm. Those are called spirit. Influence, power, enthusiasm. Those are called spirit. So we're going to do the practice again of Yahuk. And see if you know, that note can change too. You may have a keynote for your whole life. Mine's kind of the sophisticated cheerleader, do you get it? Right? It's like, hey! But then I can do the other too. So, but what's your note? You know, I know that my enthusiasm can carry people along, even in awful circumstances. Even in death, disease, poverty, these are all things I understand very well. But my enthusiasm can be the energy or the force, you know, that can raise people up and help them. What is yours? You know, what is your note? What's your possibility? What's your gift? It's not your gift, it's God's gift in you, through you, your spirit. Oh, what's happening?
The shelters at the bazaar in here, so everything shut down, and it was everybody vacated and had to the bazaar. So they're on the way. So all the way upstairs is coming. If you all just remain calm, cool here, we're in good shape.
No, there, it's severe weather. And I want to.
Just continue with your class.
I assure you, right at this moment, nothing's happening. Just this right here now. Things are not as they appear, nor are they otherwise. Okay, so again, I'm going to read that sentence. As long as we have wind, we're fine. I'm telling you, when that sky turns green and everything becomes very still, then you can be concerned. The windows are open, so we're good. We're really good. And everything's screened, so we won't have... I've lived through a tornado. All I was under was a table. Yeah. Okay. Sure. It's fine. Come on down. Come on through. Parting of the sea, right? See, we wanted to do a class together, Kabir. Here we go. Yeah, come on up. Pull a chair on up.
Should we do that? Yeah.
Come on. Okay. We're getting ready to do a practice. We're getting ready to do Yahuk.
Okay.
I'm going to read a statement, and then if you want to give some commentary, is there a chair here we can pull up for Kabir?
Adaptability is the name of the game.
Well, this is it. The Sufis always make accommodations for each other, right?
Right.
Come on in. Welcome.
Nuri and I go back years.
Yes.
On the path.
Yes, we do.
And I happen to have had the honor of giving her her name.
And where did that name idea camp come to you? Where were you?
I was in my house, and Murshida Verkorda was there for the dedication of Heart Song, and you and your sister were there. And Murshida says, "That's Stephanie Woman. Could you get me a name for her? I'm going to initiate her in the morning." And so that night it came.
And what I heard from the story is he was in the shower when it came. Isn't that right? I think you told me. You saw the light. Yeah, no, okay. He's being humble. It's a good story anyway.
It sounds good.
Come on in, we have space. Yeah, we're okay right now. So I just was reading this statement, Kabir, and you can also give us some commentary, or we can do the practice together.
Yeah.
Okay. Spirit is generally considered to mean the source and goal of all things and the essence of life. That spirit from which the whole of manifestation comes, and the same to which the whole of manifestation is drawn. We also use the spirit, word spirit in the case of a person who has passed from earth. This is another meaning of the word spirit. But then Murshid goes on to say, from a metaphysical point of view, this is, I think, the important, very key piece, it is the mind and soul and their activity which is spirit. But there is still something more in the meaning of the word spirit that we use in everyday life, meaning influence, power, radiance. Those are also called spirit. And so we were talking about how one's in...
Tornado warning.
So we were talking about how one's enthusiasm, even in dire situations, can lift people up and carry them forward, and how if one has that sphere of influence to make change or to help or to benefit others, it's good. So this is Murshid's giving us this direction towards the meaning of Yahuk, the one truth, the one reality. And so I thought again we'd do the practice, but this time, you know, go deep into, Deb, if you like the idea of putting some situation into this, that's good. My suggestion, and it's not a dictation, but, you know, to think during the practice, you know, and this will be ongoing for some of us in the circle, and so we'll keep doing that and kind of going deeper into what is the truth of my being? And that question is a big question. And ultimately, we know that it's the light of the divine one being. It's the one reality. But it manifests in many names and forms. And tomorrow we'll talk about that. Murshid gives us some really beautiful ideas about how to conceive of that and get in touch with that. But we may have a unique note. And having that flexibility or that attunement with that spirit to what is that note at that time is really very helpful. So yes, please just pass. It's okay. Just do whatever you need to do. Everyone is most welcome to come and be safe. Do you want to count for us to do the practice? Yeah. No, let's do 101.
101.
Yeah.
Yahuk.
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 Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk. Yahuk, 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 Yahuk,
Yahuk. 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 Yahuk.
It was very interesting for the group of us that were upstairs. We were doing 1,001 olives, and I was just starting to do some teaching when we were told to come down here, and then we did 101 yahuts. So
beautiful.
We did alahut.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
We had our own music.
Mm-hmm. And could you hear us up there?
Oh, absolutely. We talked about how it was good. I mean, it was blending, but also that it's so important not to get distracted. You know, at the same time, stay very present.
Right. And on a practice of 1,001 beads, I told him it's easier if you have your eyes shut.
Yeah.
So you don't watch the tonsils come around.
Yes.
And so you know when it's over, when I just say it's over. You know, and you just don't think about any other thought but God.
I was smiling because Allah is not a distraction.
Yes.
No, it's not. But at the same time, staying focused on the practice at hand. You know, the thing is everything is a distraction in a way. Allah is perfect, but the recitation of it by a human being could be, you know, it's very interesting because when I, you know that, you all know that I've lived in India and you know that I was in Tibetan Buddhist monastery, right? You all know that. And I spent a lot of times with the monks, and when I would travel for retreats, monks were sent to accompany me. And I'm very visual, so I am very attracted to things external, but they'd always say, Nuria, that's very dangerous. Don't always let the mind go there. The mind leaves the home empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to let that come to you. So did we go up there, or did we let the sound come to us? It's two different things. You understand what I'm saying? Are you getting wet? Are you okay? Okay. So that's a different mentality. You see it? It can come to you, the vibration can come to you, or we reach out to seize it. It's two different things.
There's something I'd like to add on the word spirit.
Yes.
And that is inspiration.
Yes.
The word inspiration literally means to breathe in. To breathe in. And so it adds another dimension to spirit and breath. They're all so interconnected. There's a quote from Rumi, and it goes, the moment you were created, you were given a ladder that you might escape. And I look to the breath as that ladder to climb above, because some of the best practices that I've encountered in my journey involve breath. Breath with a phrase or just plain breathing. And that is the life force, and that is what links all of us. That I recently saw this very beautiful video, thanks to my sister Sevenisa. She turned me on to a Turkish video on Netflix. It's about Yunus Zimri, the great poet. Mm-hmm. And it's in Turkish, but you can read the subtitle. Mm-hmm. So how many of you have seen it? It's well worth watching. And there is a story where he encounters this young boy who is going to kill this bird. Mm. And Yunus gets the bird in his hand and he tells the boy, I could squeeze the bird and it would die, or I could open my hands and let it fly off, but if I squeeze it, it ends its life force. It no longer is breathing. So in order for it to live, it must breathe. And so Yunus opens, the little boy agrees that yes, rather than torturing the bird, let's let it fly. And the little boy enjoyed watching it fly. Yeah. So it's a way of showing you that we're so interconnected with the breath, that when we do our dances, when we do our zikrs, when we do those practices, we're automatically breathing. We can't help but breathe. And so we're in unison and we're united in the breath.
And we're united with the elements. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the wind. It's like our breath. The wind can be very subtle and it teaches us something. The wind can be very strong and it teaches us something. This is why the aspiration and the inspiration, that's what we were doing, Natan, with the we were using it on a specific sacred word, huk. And we did it with a breath, just breathing in and breathing out. So it's like in one way, you can do the practice very hard and aloud, then you can whisper, then you take it internally, it becomes more subtle. It's like the wind, and it can change things. It's an internal kind of yoga on the centers, to activate the centers. The other thing about the breath, I had some really great teachers. You know, I went to Catholic school and I loved it. Most people can't wait to get out of church or Catholic school, not me. But I had this nun and she would say all the time, and some of you have heard this, just think of it. The same breath that Jesus gave on this earth, you are breathing in now. The same sounds that were created by the great composers resound in the spheres, and you can tune to that vibration. Einstein, an energy once go, well, here's the complex speech. No. And right, pay attention, I'm smart. An energy once created is never destroyed.
Yes.
It is always there. It's attunement. We're tuning in. And why not? We can Bluetooth everything to each other and Wi-Fi everything to each other. Why can't we tune to that? We're tuning the radio in to get a wave. That's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Attunement, tuning in. Tuning into that ray that returns. And like Murshid Kabir said, what do we return on that ray to the source, back and forth? The breath. The breath. And it is seen in the sacred architecture all around the world. But you see it as symbolically in the Islamic, the mihrabs, the beautiful domes. It's that. It's expansion. It's contraction. Look at those geometric forms and study them. They're educating us. They're giving us the practice. It's there. All in the star and then the contraction. Okay? It's in the sky. Look up at night. The light and the space. We have 10 minutes. Questions? Comments?
Comments or questions?
Can you what? Oh, maybe. Oh, you know what? Really, honestly, I do want these pictures of us together. We'll put Mersh, can we push Mershit up here?
Yeah.
Mershit, he's dancing. If you haven't seen this photo of Anayat Khan, this is in the groves of apricot trees, and it was always where he initiated his students. And some of you've seen this photo, you're familiar with it, but you can't tell if he's manifesting out of formlessness or dissolving into it. It's amazing. It's like he's transparent, like especially from here. Do you see it? It's beautiful. So can we, let's get a picture together, you and I. Can you take one of them? Do you want mine?
No, I'm good.
Good.
1, 2, 3. Very good camera. 1, 2, 3. It's kind of like you want another one. Oh, get Vogue. Get Vogue.
Oh, Vogue. I tell you, Mersha Kabir and I are, I feel like we're really soulmates in so many ways.
And even though she is in the Sufi movement, and I'm in the Rouhaniyat, or I'm also in the movement, because Pir Hidayat, with Pir Mordedin's okay, initiated me also as a Murshid in the movement and a Siraj in the movement, in the mentor garden where Murshid Sam used to be. So it was quite an honor that day. And I cherish that connection. And I have been to the school there at
Cat's Pike. Yeah.
And I dearly love my friends in the movement. And Murshid Nawab is a good friend.
Yeah. And Murshid, Pir Moinuddin.
Yeah.
And Pir Velayat. They were very generous with me, knowing that I was in a predominantly Rouhaniyat community, and said, we don't care, just offer what you offer. It doesn't matter to who or when or how. And then Mershid Hidayat comes on the scene, and then Pir Shabda, you know, after the passing of calls, it's like, we want you in our initiator circle too. It's like, there's room for everybody. So I feel really connected to all the different organizations and becoming closer also to the Sufi contact and the Sufi way. And I have good friends in the Fraternity of Light. So it's one.
Tomorrow, Nuria and I will be doing a presentation on honoring Pir Hidayat. And we're going to be wearing the brown robes that the Shiraj wear. And I cherish the fact that I was presented a brown robe by the movement. So I love the fact that most Sufi orders around this planet of ours honors one another as a fellow Sufi, even though your practices may be miles apart in technique or practice, but they honor you usually.
Absolutely.
Usually.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be of the lineage of Anayat Khan.
No.
If they find out you're a Sufi, they're grabbing you and you're off to the tekka to do practices with them.
Right.
Even being a woman.
Yeah.
You know? So it's very good, and it's good to embrace that and learn from all the different traditions. They enrich each other. But I will say that we were just at the Federation, I've mentioned that, and I will say I'm getting more and more news from different communities that they consider themselves Federation communities. All the different organizations are working together, and it's, you know, they're all supporting each other and helping each other.
There is another term I hear a lot more these days, and that is universal Sufi. And that honors the whole, everything,
yeah.
and not just one type. You know. Any questions?
Well, I started to say though about if you can get a chance to get a glance from Murshid Kabir, he is like that little sparkle. Man, it speaks more than a million words.
I wondered why I was ever made a Murshid. I was like, oh my God, when I got this letter from Murshid Mornadine that he wanted me to fill out some questionnaire, and I thought, why me? You know? And I don't lead always the same traditional kind of class, but I hate to use that quote, but I had meetings with remarkable people. And one of them was Murshida Viracorta, and there's a wall on the other side of this building where there's the other stairway. And there was a day at a camp here that she said, Javier, would you come sit with me? Because Mornadine is in Hawaii, Paralyzed, busy, Amadine's too busy, and she started naming these people, and she said, sit with me. And what she wanted to do was to sit in darshan with her. And I didn't know until it was over. She said, well, how long am I going to be on the airplane? And I said, I think you're going to be around a while. And she was. But it was like an honor to be in sitting with her. But the thing was, she gave me the gift of darshan and also Mornadine and Purvalaya. And my very first teacher, the moment I met him at a lecture on Sufism, I was talking to this woman that I was in yoga class with, and he heard me talk about Murshid Sam Lewis and Inayat Khan, as I had just read some other books. And he turned, and I'll never forget that initial glance that he gave me was like, whoa, somebody lit the lights on. And he said, excuse me, but I heard you mention Inayat Khan and Murshid Sam. I was a student of Murshid Sam, and I would like to talk with you later. So we talked, and he said, come to my house tomorrow night. And I remember that night he initiated me and gave me my name. And I was in Turkey years later. In 2010, I was traveling by myself, and I had my, I think I had a little iPad, or not an iPad, a little iPod, and I could pick up Wi-Fi at this cafe. And I read that Sheikh Sarman Brody was killed in a car accident. And you know what I immediately saw? His darshan.
Mm-hmm.
This being of light, and it was like, he's in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel sad. I felt, strangely enough, the joy that his time here on this plane was ended. But what a gift he gave me. It was astounding that those times of sitting in silence, just in the glance, and when you're in the glance, you become one with the other soul, and there's timelessness happens. So I'm very touched at what you said.
I feel that. And and when I took initiation with Murshida Vera, it was at the dedication of the Heart Song Shrine. So we have all these circles within circles. But was there a question over here? I'm
yes,
sorry.
There was.
Yeah.
I was wanting to make a comment. You know, when you was talking about energy,
yes,
and that is a metaphysical book. Coming to physics, Mm-hmm. And she never died.
Right.
Okay. And we are all energy.
That's right.
Every last one of us, and the world is energy.
Right.
It has a life force. And we all have a life. And I can see life. With a very holy person. It's a whole halo.
Mm.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Yes, and I met a Swami one time, and I can see his aura. It was like this, and it was blue.
Mm.
But remember that all of us is what?
That's right.
Energy. We do not die.
Mm-hmm.
We live on.
Mm-hmm.
Only this body, this shell, we call. We can experience life. How beautiful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But when the body goes, we can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we can reincarnate and come back.
Yes. The Sufis,
the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Sufis use the word Hazrat not as a person's name, but as invoking the presence of that being.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say Hazrat Inayat Khan, we are invoking that being. You can say Hazrat Murshida Barakorda or anyone that has the heart.
Yeah. Yeah, and she would do that too. She was fiery.
Right?
Whoa!
Yeah, I was camp director at one of these camps, and meaning that I had to time those classes. And you had invited
Karuna Maima
here, and they were like, she was on right after Murshida, but you don't stop Murshida when she's on a roll. And she went maybe 20 minutes over time, and she just would not allow anyone to interrupt her. No way. And also, sometimes she was a cranky woman. I could say that B word, but I didn't. But if she didn't like the food, she'd fire the cook, you know. But when she was on, oh my God, was that lady on. So show the hands of those that have been in her presence. Good, there are still some of us around.
I love Imam Bilal said,
yes.
I always had such great admiration for Murshida Vera, but I admired her from afar. She scared me. And she would say to me, I had the chance to travel with her sometimes and be with her, and she said, oh, Maria, why can't I just be like one of those sweet old ladies? I just have so much fire in me. I just can't overcome it, you know? And it was, I mean, she'd scare you, wouldn't she? She'd light you on, light your pants on fire. But she was, you could really feel when she was teaching, she wasn't there. I mean, she was just tuning in and bringing it down. And she was the master of the elements. She understood that very well, this play of the elemental world.
She also had another occupation when she was younger. She was a designer, mm-hmm. and there was a fabric line called Vera, and there was like towels, sheets, all sorts of scarves and whatnot, with the Vera designs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a neighbor who's passed on, but he said, Vera, and he got out an old tablecloth he inherited from his mother, and it mm-hmm. was a Vera mm-hmm. tablecloth.
You still find them.
Yeah.
She also worked for the WPA. She was a graphic designer then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of history, but she was so intelligent. She had a scientific mind, a mathematical mind. She was an educator. She had worked in the field of psychology, nursing, psychiatric nursing, and things like that. She really understood so much from so many different perspectives. And she was a lover.
Mm-hmm.
She always loved being in love, you know?
Yeah. I just want to say, if you want to get a taste of Rashida Vera,
oh, yes.
I'm working on her hard drive with a couple other people, veracorda.com. And so we just
yes.
posted her whole lecture series on her Jerusalem trilogy. And there's also a section on healing, but the Jerusalem trilogy, this was her teacher for 40-something years, I think, in the Mercy Sam. So it's just this love burst towards Mercy Sam and interpreting this epic poem.
How is she connected with the Jerusalem trilogy?
She did a whole series of commentary. On the entire book.
Any more questions?
Thank you, Lord.
Have we gotten an all clear?
I don't know.
Does anyone know?
I have a feeling that's clear enough.
It seems like
this is till 3 p.m., so. Now it's 3:30?
Oh, you're
Well, all right. Should we do some practice?
Yes!
Yeah.
I know one.
You huck?
No. This is a practice that's very recommended in these disturbing political times on the planet, and that is a variation on Nor, and that is Nori. And that way you generate the light in your being, and you become a being of light, and you should get to the point where things external should not disturb your inner peace. So we'll do 33 Yanoris. Yanori, 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 Yanori. In the words of Mazur Ben Icon with the Khatun, there's that beautiful passage, "Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls." So Yanuri pulls that to the surface, and we can radiate that light if we're conscious about it.
Can we do the practice another time in a different method? So you can see that practices can be done differently too. So let's intone the words Yanuri 11 times. And then we'll just whisper Nuri in and out, and then just silently hold that light. And you may want to put that light on a particular situation in the world or within one's life, okay? Yanuri. Yanuri.
Now just on the breath, breathe in and out, Nori. And let the light radiating from your being radiate in all directions, 350 degrees. And imagine all those beings that are in need of this light, in need of the comfort, the awakening, the peace of this light. Send it out in effulgent waves of beneficence, touching all beings without any discrimination, without any judgment. Who does not need this light? Ya Nuri.
Let's see the
curtain. Oh, yeah.
I've been working on the variation of close to us, thy line life, by changing those two words. Disclose to you their divine light. Disclose to them my divine light. Disclose to us our divine light. And it amplifies it.
Beautiful.
Then I can see that in advance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just interpose as you're walking.
Yeah.
Disclose to me your divine light.
Them
our divine life, and it amplifies it instead of just
mm-hmm.
close to us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's a good.
I was going to ask Noria if you could expand on the concept of the heart as being a reflection.
Yes.
You mentioned it earlier, and I was just wondering if.
Yes, I'd really be happy to, and it comes from Murshid's teachings actually on zikr, and he talks about the two sounds in the zikr which are really the most important
are the L, because Mersha does it in the Persian dialect, L and Hu. And the L is a little bit like that Yahuk. It comes down, you know, because we do La Elaha El Allahu. And then he talks about Hu. But he talks about the actual heart, like the flesh of the heart, being a reflector of the solar plexus. And so, you know, sometimes you feel things here and sometimes you feel them here, or maybe both. They're reflective of each other. And so he says the heart, really the deep seat of the heart, is here in the solar plexus. And he gives a lot of emphasis to awakening that center, again, because it awakens those intuitive faculties and it awakens sensitivities, which it also, you know, making one more sensitive can also bring its own challenges. But he talks about that the heart reflects the deep heart. And so when we talk about polishing the heart, you know, I always think of it as this image of, you know, the Sacred Heart of Jesus or Mary or Joseph. You know, the radiance maybe comes from here, but it also, this is the center. We forget it, that it's not, so, but it's very, very important. Rashida Viri used to talk about that. I think I've talked many times about it, that about this being the root of the heart. And she would give us, she would do like this with the fingers, and she'd say, from here, you put it in the, your thumb in the belly button,
yeah,
and you go down for the min, that's the very, very deep of the root, and from your index finger up with the woman, that's hers. So there's very specific instructions about that. And I'd be happy to, another time, because I think we can possibly transition upstairs if you wish and conclude here. But I could be happy to share that paper at some time, too. But yeah, he talks about the flesh of the heart actually being a reflector. It absorbs the impressions and the reflection from that deeper center.
So how much more time do we have if we kept our stick? We have like 10 minutes maybe?
I think that class, it ended.
Oh, it ended.
Yeah, and yeah. So I think the next classes have begun, if they've begun.
The next class starts at 3:20.
And it's 3:28.
Yeah. So,
does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care?
But should we do the top 10?
Yes.
Yeah.
O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness, teach us thy loving forgiveness, raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide, send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. Hakima, we have a birthday boy in the room. Could you lead us in a birthday song?
Oh, what's his name?
His name is Fareed.
Fareed.
Yes.
Birthday boy. He's come all the way from New York.
Today or yesterday?
New York with Surya, his beloved wife. They were married here at this camp. Yeah. Can we sing?
God danced the day you were born. The angels set the rock and the dead were torn.
God
danced the day you were born. God danced the day you were born. The angels set the buck to Gabriel's horn. We saw in the days that your faces shall parade. Send you blessings on.
I know.
Yeah.
It's good proof that the practices do their work. He's really looking shiny for his age. There are more benefits than just enlightenment. No facelifts. I know. Is it over?
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
Okay. Red is over.
Too bad. This was fun. Oh, yes.
See my beads? I bought bunches of sets in Konya, and then at camp here we strung them one time.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great photo?
I have never seen that.
I know. You know who gave it to me from their collection? Wali and Wali Mohouse.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.